I'm Su Lin Wong, host of The Prince, a new podcast series from The Economist. It's about China's leader, Xi Jinping. He's the most powerful man in the world, but he remains a mystery. His story is hidden behind a brutal censorship and propaganda machine. After 10 years in charge, it looks like he'll break convention to stay on, perhaps for the rest of his life. I'll tell the real story of China's leader, the lessons he learned from watching his parents lose everything and from rising through the ranks of a vicious regime. Now, he's using those lessons to control over a billion people. He's changed China, he's changed my life, and the decisions he makes affect us all. To understand what's next, you need to know where he came from. Listen to The Prince from The Economist, wherever you get your podcasts.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
To impeach or not to impeach? That is the question. You know, folks, Donald Trump became the first president in U.S. history to be impeached twice. And it wasn't because President Trump was doing anything wrong. It's because this version of the Democrat Socialist Party is the most extreme politicized version of the Democrat Party that we've ever seen. And they thought it was completely appropriate to use and abuse impeachment to take out their political opponents, because the Make America Great / America First movement was something they couldn't stand against. They couldn't stand against President Trump's popularity. They couldn't stand and meet with proposals, because their left-wing party won't allow them anymore, meet Trump with proposals that were equally beneficial to the United States. All they have is destructive wokeism, communism, socialism. All that said, I do not want to impeach Beijing Biden because, well, they did it to Trump, so we need to do it to him. That's not why. I want to apply equal standards. If they're going to impeach Republican presidents for stuff they say is illegal and impeachable, then by God, Democrats ought to be impeached for doing the same damn thing. Trump was impeached for a phone call with President Zelensky, the newly elected president of Ukraine. And in this phone call, Donald Trump suggested, hey, you may want to use your investigative powers to investigate Joe Biden and Hunter Biden for all the dirty dealings they're doing over there in your country. You just might want to investigate that. And for that, Trump was impeached, because they say that President Trump withheld funds from Ukraine that were congressionally approved on the condition that an investigation occur. Now, that didn't happen, but that's what the Democrats claimed happened. So the Democrats have laid down the standard. Now, what happens if an executive in our government, president or vice president, uses their power to get another country to do what they want, to investigate, or in this case, not investigate somebody in the United States, and they threaten to withhold money allocated by Congress? Well, the Democrats say they should be impeached. So that means,
you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The prosecutor in Ukraine, who is investigating Burisma, Joe Biden's derelict son's company, of which he had no expertise to serve on Burisma's board, but was getting an ungodly, it was like $50,000 a month or some crazy salary. And I'm sorry, Hunter Biden didn't know a damn thing. All he was, as the Hunter Biden laptop and Tony Bobulinski is telling us, all Hunter Biden was an intermediary to launder money so that the big guy can get his 10% cut. Massive amounts of money going to Joe Biden. And again, the Democrats said if a chief executive, president, somebody in the Oval Office, the executive branch, is to withhold congressionally approved funds for on the basis of some sort of an investigation, that's illegal and that's impeachable. So what is Joe Biden admitting to here when he says this?
I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
So there you go. So that's exactly what Joe Biden did. And all I'm saying is all I want is the equal application of justice. If it's right and proper for President Trump to be impeached, then damn well it's right and proper for Joe Biden to be impeached. And he ought to be. Not for revenge, but you know what the Democrats did? They used impeachment to derail the America First agenda. They used it. And so I think that the Republicans ought to use the same tactics to derail the socialist Democrat agenda. Are you with me? I've got two Republican lawmakers coming on to discuss this and other topics on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Does the state of the economy have your head spinning? Let American Medical Plans relieve one burden, health insurance. American Medical Plans specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays and no deductibles. You choose your doctors, you choose your hospitals. These plans have nothing to do with your income and are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. You deserve better. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
The establishment media is out of touch with the real things real Texans care about. Real news for real Texans. That's what Texas Scorecard does every day. Learn more and subscribe for free. TexasScorecard.com/Chris.
We have lots to do on this Salcedo Storm podcast. Let's get to the first guest. Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne. She represents the 24th Congressional District in the great state of Texas. She served in the Trump administration and is the former mayor of Irving, Texas. Congresswoman, welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you kindly for making the time here. Democrat racism is the first thing I want to talk about. You know, Nancy Pelosi suggested that illegal aliens be kept in Florida to, quote, pick the crops. Then the failed border czar, Kamala Harris, said that aid for Hurricane Ian should be distributed according to the color of a person's skin under this guise of equity. And then Joe Biden, Beijing Biden yesterday in Puerto Rico, touring storm damage from Fiona there, said this. Have a listen.
And so I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home politically.
It's basically saying, hey, if you're Puerto Rican, you're a left-wing crazy person just like me. So Democrat racism is a problem. Why do you think that the press and frankly, maybe you Republicans don't call it out as often as you should?
Well, let's face it. Biden may really believe at this point in time that he was raised Puerto Rican. Yeah, I think at any given moment, the guy doesn't even know where he is. So, you know, I don't know how seriously to take some of his statements, but it is blatant that Democrats, you know, have always been the party of racism. They thrive on division, on separating people out into groups. You know, this is what we're going to say to a female crowd. This is what we're going to say to a black crowd. This is what we're going to say to a Latino crowd, or I'm sorry, a Latinx crowd. I know you love
no,
that.
No, no.
You know, I mean, that's how they separate people out. And yep. What they're seeing you know, in Florida, for example, because Kamala Harris just you know, so we have to only give, you know, aid based on race. What you're seeing in Florida is this is a community that's pulling together. This is people all around the country who are coming to help their fellow Americans who are in pain, who are suffering, who have just lost devastating loss as a result of this, you know, this natural storm, this natural disaster. That is the last thing that Democrats want. They don't want people working together. They don't want people all on the same side supporting one another. They want them dependent on the government, and they're going to put them in different blocks. You mean, look, what is Pelosi saying? Oh, just send them back to the plantation? You know, she sees you know, folks who are coming over here, immigrants, in two ways. One, either people who can pick crops, or two, as future voters. She doesn't see them as people. She doesn't see them definitely as individuals. These are groups, and that's how they want to keep us, is just divided.
And the two are not mutually exclusive. She would prefer them to change the bed sheets and be a servant class. You know, people maybe perhaps with my skin tone and with my last surname. But she sees them as crop pickers and servants in a servant class. And yes, make sure that they vote for the people who put them in that servant class. The Democrats, as you point out, Congresswoman, with a history of racism in the United States. I want to play a soundbite from one of your left-wing colleagues. Her name is Underwood. She is speaking at a committee meeting, and she is saying, hey, what's the government's role in combating disinformation? Here's her soundbite. Listen to this.
Thank you very much. Dr. Elnahal, we know that bad actors are spreading false information about reproductive health, often deliberately, with the goal of discouraging abortion or limiting access even further. How is VA planning to prevent and combat disinformation and misinformation around this rule?
So the question is, how is VA going to push back on constitutionally protected speech? What would you say if you were asked that question?
I don't think it's the role of the VA to push back on free speech. But what I heard her say was basically, you know, how can the VA encourage abortion? And they're, you know, they're considering the death of a baby as reproductive health. That's not health. First of all, it's not health care at all. But second of all, you know, is it bad to be discouraging abortion? What she is saying is she wants to use government taxpayer personnel to be encouraging abortion. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have been down this road. We have seen the radicalization of a very fringe movement in the Democrat Party that has picked up speed, has that volume. And quite honestly, when you're dealing with such small margins, has the power. Because you've got folks like Pelosi, and you've got folks like Kamala Harris, and you've got folks like Biden who are bending to their will. But we have really seen an extreme nature. You know, we all used to be, when I say we all, they would have unanimous consent on things like the Hyde abortion, which meant that we were not going to have taxpayer-funded abortion. And what you saw this last year was Democrats going full tilt on the other side.
Yeah,
all but one Democrat voted for full-term abortion, on-demand, taxpayer-funded, up until the time of birth. And that's now what they want to offer our veterans. That's what they want to offer our service members.
Right. It's, you know, Joe Biden's official position is he wants to abolish the Hyde Amendment to force us all to be complicit in his sin, number one. Number two, I'm with you. When the question is asked of our government, what are you going to do to suppress politically protected speech? The answer should be not a damn thing. It's not government's job to do that. It's not our job to push back.
Well, actually, it's government's job to protect it.
Yes.
That's the purpose of government, is to protect your rights.
But that's when government was responsible.
We should be doing the exact opposite. We do have a role in that, and that's in protecting, not in stifling.
There you go. Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne is our guest. 24th Congressional District here in the great state of Texas. And speaking of abortion, Planned Parenthood, because you know, Congresswoman, it's all about women's health. Planned Parenthood is going to be rolling out these mobile abortion units to go on to state lines so they can perform abortions. Because when I think of a surgical procedure, I always want it to be taking place in the back of a van somewhere. And this is what Planned Parenthood is rolling out, because it's all about women's health. You want to respond?
Yeah, this has never been about women's health. This has always been about, you know, just pursuing gruesome and barbaric service of providing abortions on demand. and now they're talking about carrying it on a bus. You tell me, is that really surgery? Can you imagine women who are put in that position? Because
what,
you know,
could go wrong?
We like to think that abortion is clean and clear, and uh-huh. You know, you walk in. That's not the case. These are women who are risking their lives by getting these procedures in some instances, and you're going to be doing it in the back of a van. I mean, how barbaric is this?
Right.
And if you are interested in healthcare, you know, those states that have restricted abortion now, those states actually do have healthcare. They do have birthing centers. They do have the ability for women to go get pap smears and breast cancer exams. That's women's healthcare. Let's prop that up instead of only pushing that, you know, women are forced into abortions. Let's see what we can do to support on the other side. Are we supporting things like my bill, which would allow adoptive parents to be able to put their birthing mother on their health care plan? Are they supplying support in resources to birthing centers that give financial aid, that give services, emotional support to women who are going through unwanted pregnancies? Have we thought about that? But no, Democrats just keep pushing that, hey, your only alternative is abortion. And now they're trying to force, you know, that on our military.
CBS News, by the way, since you brought up these pro-women, pro-life clinics that have been firebombed by the American left in the wake of the Roe v. Wade decision being overturned. CBS News claims it is the right wing that is violent, but of course, that's a whole bunch of violence that they've chosen to ignore. Plus, the FBI just arrested a Catholic priest. His crime was putting padlocks on a gate that led to an abortion clinic and lying in the road, which, of course, is weak tea compared to the BLM and Antifa rioting, looting, beatings, and killings we saw in our streets. But yet the FBI wanted to make an example and put a Catholic priest in chains. As a sitting member of Congress, what is your opinion of the FBI's conduct as of late?
And they did it in front of his kids. I'm still trying to get down to actually what happened, because we've heard, you know, a number of different stories.
Oh, no, that's not the Catholic man. The Catholic man, yeah, getting arrested in front of his kids, that's one thing. And by the way, the district court in that case had already dropped it because an abortion clinic worker got in his 12-year-old son's face and he defended his son. So that's why police wouldn't. Yeah. But I'm talking about an actual Catholic priest who basically put padlocks on a gate to lead to an abortion clinic and laid in the road to stop entrance. And they went after him with complete gusto that was not present by the FBI in BLM or Antifa riots.
It's pretty clear what we're seeing during this administration. By the way, it started under the Obama administration. And it continued throughout the Trump administration, not because the president, you know, President Trump was encouraging that, but that's just the way that it had been. The FBI had been completely politicized.
Yep.
What we've seen, you know, through the IRS targeting conservative groups and totally ignoring groups like BLM, this has been going on now for over a decade. We have got to start investigations on this. Jim Jordan has talked about this, at length. We have got to get down. This is ridiculous. This is a waste of taxpayer dollars, and it is punishing people who want to do good for our country. And it's completely politicized in the FBI. And you can see them targeting. They're not even hiding it anymore.
I know, right?
The bias is so obvious. They're not even hiding it, because there's really, I mean, when you've got one party rule, they've got the House, they've got the Senate, they've got the presidency. Where's the backup? We can introduce as many bills as we want on the floor. We can go and have press conferences. We can have active social media accounts. But if you don't have a government who's willing to hold their departments to task, we are in a failing position as long as we're in the minority.
Well, you're right. They've got the House. They've got the Senate. They've got the White House. And they've got the FBI. They've got the DOJ. They've got what many would regard as the deep state, what I call permanent Washington. Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne is our guest, 24th District in the state of Texas. Let's pivot to the economy, because this is hurting everybody. It's not just fuel, which is, by the way, creeping back up after Joe Biden claimed that there are some areas in America on average that are dropping below $3 a gallon, which wasn't true. Fuel, rent, they're surging. Food costs, record highs. Cereal, dairy, jumping more than 16%. Meat, poultry, up over 11%. And this from the mortgage industry, as rates near 7%, the highest level since the Great Recession. In just 6 weeks, the average monthly mortgage payment shot up 15% or $337, according to a Redfin report. And this is all traced back to Democrat socialist policies. No?
Absolutely. I mean, from day one, this administration has been killing jobs. From day one, it has been attacking the U.S. business sector. And then throwing trillions of dollars of spending. You cannot spend your way out of this. And at what point are we actually going to call this a recession? Is it a recession yet?
Of course it is.
And not that the words matter, because again, we see it, we feel it. Every single time we go to the grocery store, every single time we go to the gas tank, people, you know, American working families are feeling this pain. And we have an administration, and we've got a Democrat Party that is in complete denial that this is happening. Yes, we have seen gas prices soar. One of the reasons why they went down is because we flooded the market with what we had in reserve. That's not sustainable. You can't continue throwing out reserves. But they only did it for timing right before the midterm so they could say, you know, prices were decreasing. Well, prices are still up over 50% of what they were when Joe Biden came into office. So, okay, fine, they're not at 100% now, but they are still substantially higher. Than they were they're higher now than when Biden took office.
Yeah.
Look, we've got every American is feeling the impact of these unbearable prices and skyrocketing inflation. Quite honestly, when Republicans take back the House, we're going to prioritize our economy and the needs of everyday Americans.
Well, you took me right where I wanted to go, because you made mention of the draining of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And you're absolutely right. The Democrats felt it perfectly comfortable with sacrificing national security so they could blunt the impact of a negative election. Our national security is collapsing. First, as you mentioned, Biden used the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to ease the pain of his anti-energy policies, he and his Democrats' anti-energy policies. Now we learn that Joe Biden's drawdowns have pushed our weapons stockpiles to dangerously low levels and leaving us vulnerable from an ever-aggressive China. This follows the U.S. Army recruitment dropping by 25%. They missed their recruitment goals. If the GOP takes back power in the House, has Kevin McCarthy assured you that the Republican Party is going to be as bold at restoring America's national security as the Democrats have been in undermining it?
I think Leader McCarthy has been very vocal, you know, coming out with his commitment to America, which people are crediting the leader for doing that, or crediting McCarthy for coming out with. But the fact is that what he did is he put nearly every single Republican Congress member in a task force working on it. So this is really the plan of the party that's coming out and identifying where we're going to go and how what we're going to prioritize, how we're going to take back our country, and how we are going to hold those accountable. I mean, one of the four pillars of the plan is to hold your government accountable, which means getting down, investigating where did the coronavirus come from, right? Let's find that out. How do we have our FBI running amok right now and not having any kind of accountability? What are we doing to hold our Congress members accountable and our leaders accountable? At some point in time, we're going to have to get down to, okay, why does this Hunter Biden get a pass? Why are we not looking at that, and why are we not investigating that?
Right.
And the Oversight Committee, Judiciary Committee, is going to be very, very involved, very engaged in this. I have no doubt at all that you're going to see a number of investigations started if we are able to get back the majority, because that has to happen. We have to, people right now, Americans don't trust their government, and for good reason.
Yeah, they've earned it.
We need to be able to clear the air, investigate what's going on, do it in a transparent way, get down to these answers. That should be one of our number one goals when we take back the House.
Speaking of Leader McCarthy, this is from the Business Insider. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, after momentarily reflecting on Trump's tumultuous single term in office, alerted his far right members Thursday that impeaching Joe Biden is not at the top of his 2023 agenda if the GOP takes control this fall. Quote, "We just went through 4 years of watching political impeachment," McCarthy told reporters at the Capitol, adding that Republicans, if returned to power during the midterm elections, would reflexively impeach Biden to avenge the embattled former president. Quote, "We will uphold the law. We will not play politics with it." Congresswoman, I don't need to tell you that this specter raises the possibility that Kevin McCarthy is is just Paul Ryan 2.0, a man who will notice all manner of injustices perpetrated against Republicans under this move, let's move on banner and not hold Democrats accountable. Now, Mr. McCarthy claims that impeachment is not high on his list. And I wanted to remind you and get you to comment on this. President Trump was impeached for allegedly withholding congressionally approved funds to Ukraine, allegedly for saying, hey, you ought to investigate Joe Biden and his criminal activity in Ukraine. And so for this, President Trump was impeached. Listen to Joe Biden in 2018.
I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
There is Joe Biden saying that, admitting that he withheld congressionally approved funds to Ukraine on the condition that they drop an investigation against his son that a prosecutor in Ukraine was conducting, his son's company, Burisma. To me, if you're going to impeach Donald Trump over an alleged improper phone call with Zelensky, this admitted criminality by Joe Biden that we have on tape, doesn't that necessitate that Congress act?
Well, I think you're going to see Congress act. And I'd like to think that we can work, you know, we can both walk and chew gum at the same time. When we get down to, they did that to Trump, so should we do that to Biden? I think most people that look at what happened to Trump recognize that that was 100% political, mm-hmm. that was a ridiculous thing to impeach the president for, and it was all about payback, and it was all about this Trump derangement syndrome. I think what I have heard in our conference is we are prioritizing investigations. We are prioritizing oversight. When we just had our GOP conference a few months ago, that was a huge focus of what are we going to do on oversight if we're able to take back the majority. And we have had the assurances of, again, the Oversight and the Judiciary Committee that they're going to start looking at investigations. We need to find out where those investigations go. Let's get all that information out there before we determine, you know, what path we're going to take. And I have had the assurances of leadership on that. That is exactly where they're going to go. And look, you know me. I want to find out exactly what happened on this and hold the people accountable. But the same token, you also have American people right now that are hurting. They are feeling it in their pocketbooks. You just mentioned at the top of the hour how much rents and mortgages have gone up, how much more people are paying at the pump. We have got to have solutions to address the economic conditions that this administration has thrown working people into.
Well, correct.
We have to address that. And like I said, I think we can do multiple things at the same time.
Right. And the genesis of all of that pain is the Democrat Party and the occupier of the Oval Office. And again, it's not like we have to go digging for documents, Congresswoman. We have Joe Biden on tape admitting that he did what President Trump was impeached for. So again, I think from the conservative movement, our problem with Paul Ryan 2.0 and Kevin McCarthy is he is not willing to hold the Democrats to the same standards the Democrats held President Trump to in an effort to derail his agenda. So conservatives just say, look, we just want the equal application. If President Trump can be impeached for this, and we've got Joe Biden admitting that he did it, then why can't Joe Biden be impeached?
Well, again, and just because Democrats did it doesn't mean I want to do it. Democrats are also threatening that they want to increase the size of the Supreme Court, which doesn't mean that when Republicans take office that we're going to increase the
size
of the
Supreme Court.
I don't want to do the same thing that Democrats are doing.
No, I understand.
I want to follow the investigation, figure out what kind of information comes out.
But the Democrats...
And then let's look at our options then.
Well, Congressman, with all due respect, the Democrats used this... politicizing
Absolutely
of impeachment to derail the Trump administration's agenda. And that's all everybody was focused on. And they laid down the precedent there. That's what they said. You can impeach a president for withholding funds congressionally approved by the Congress where it's supposed to go. And Joe Biden has admitted that. So Do you say it's wrong to hold the Democrats? Well, let me just put it this way. Is it wrong to hold Democrats to the standards they have already taken action and harmed the Republican Party with?
Oh, absolutely not. But what it is dangerous is you look at what has happened as a result of their focus. You have seen a country that has been torn into disarray.
Yep.
You have seen a country that used to be influential throughout the world that now people laugh at us. Now you've got people like Putin and you've got people like Xi Jinping laughing at us. You know, Xi is now not even holding the U.S. In any kind of fright at all or fear. We've got folks on our southern border that are continuing to come in, and Mexico is laughing at us. As a result of the Democrats' actions, the entire country has suffered. I don't want to repeat that if we're able to take the majority.
Well,
I think that has been damaging. I think it's been divisive. I think it has grown hate throughout our nation. I mean, at Thanksgiving tables. I don't want to continue that. I think when Republicans come in, you hold people accountable, you have investigations, but you also have to do the hard work of governing. You've got to go after and prioritize what right now is hurting people the most.
Mm-hmm.
And it's looking at inflation. It's looking at our energy sector and making sure that we are not demonizing an entire industry that helps fund America.
No,
and helps keep peace throughout the world. We have to do our job.
At Frontier, we know you've had enough of cable internet. If you're tired of steep price hikes, upload speeds slower than download speeds, and worrying about Wi-Fi, then uncable yourself and switch to Frontier Fiber. With unrandom pricing, equal uploads and downloads, and our whole home Wi-Fi guarantee. Introducing internet that works the way it should. Frontier Gig Fiber. Just $59.99 a month with autopay and our 3-year price guarantee. Plus, you can get a $200 Visa reward card on us. See frontier.com/fast2 for complete offer, terms, eligibility, and performance details. Subject to availability.
But at the same time, I think we can walk and chew gum, do our job, focus on that, focus on stopping the hurt that this administration has caused in just under 2 years, but also have investigations and hold those people accountable.
Well, I would suggest to you, Congresswoman, that the reason why the Democrats continue to do the improper things that you rightly point out is they get away with it. There is no downside for Democrats politicizing impeachment. Why? Because they know, they're confident Republicans won't lift a finger to hold them accountable. They know this. So they're going to keep on doing it. They're going to continue to destroy the United States of America until they suffer consequences for what they've done. And the Democrat Party, because the Republicans refuse to respond in kind to the Democrat Party to say, look, you can't do this to America and get off scot-free. You have to have consequences. So that's the only cautionary tale I would offer as you and I say goodbye. And I got to say, you know, you have more guts to come on this program and discuss the tough topics. McCarthy's ducking us. McCarthy does not want to have the conversation you and I just had because he doesn't have the courage. He's a California, air quotes, Republican. He doesn't have the courage that a Texas fighter like you has. And I really appreciate you making the time.
Look, you and I have known each other for a long time.
Long time.
And I think having these conversations is healthy. You have to have these debates.
Oh, I agree.
It's the only way that you can actually, if you listen to people and thoughtfully respond. And we don't have enough of that in our country right now.
Honestly,
we sit on our sidelines and we know where we're going to attack. But governing is not easy. And there are how many, 330 million people that we represent, and they all have differing viewpoints. But what I'm hearing in my district, I'm not hearing complaints about January 6th. I'm not hearing complaints about Trump. What I'm hearing over and over again is I can't pay my rent.
Yep.
I'm sick of our gas prices going up. I can't hire people for my small business because we can't find the labor. That's what I'm hearing, and as a representative in this district, I want to make sure that we are addressing those concerns and addressing them as soon as we possibly can.
Well, I think you're right. Walking and chewing gum, I think that is something you are very adept at doing. I only wish your leadership was equally as adept. Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne, representing the 24th Congressional District in the great state of Texas. Lady, I always appreciate the time.
Thank you, Chris. You have a great day, and appreciate the time as well.
Now let's leave the comfy confines of Texas and head to the great state of Pennsylvania. Congressman Guy Reschenthaler, he is a Pennsylvania congressman, member of the House Appropriations Committee and House Rules Committee, also a former U.S. Navy JAG officer, which is going to come in handy for our discussion. Congressman, welcome to the Salcedo Show.
Chris, thanks for having me on. Just, I was stationed in Texas for 2 years, and I tell everybody that Pennsylvania is my favorite state, but Texas is my favorite country.
I love that. I'm going to steal that, by the way. That's very good. Let you and I talk about, and not necessarily in order of importance, but this is a big one, okay. and it's on your radar screen in your office, and nobody knows about it. Let me set this up by saying, folks, as you all know, WNBA star Griner is in deep doo-doo over in Russia because she brought in some illicit narcotics over there, but the Biden administration is moving heaven and earth to help get her back home. She checks a lot of boxes for the administration. She's a person of color. She's also gay. So this is a top priority for Joe Biden. However, there's somebody else who is in a similar situation. Congressman, tell us about the Fogel family.
Sure. So Mark Fogel is an individual from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, right outside Pittsburgh. He's a middle-aged, presumably straight, male, white, history teacher, and he has been detained in Russia as well. And he was detained because he had, and wait for it, Chris, because I know it's shocking, just over half an ounce of medical marijuana, of which he had a medical prescription for, by the way. Mm-hmm. So here's the issue. Griner and Fogel are in detention in Russia for roughly the same offense. Yet, Griner was put in what's called wrongfully detained status by the administration, meaning that she is eligible for a prisoner swap. The Biden administration did that after about 2 days, 48 hours or so. Mark Fogel, the history teacher from Pittsburgh, is not in wrongfully detained status. And because of that, the State Department cannot put him in with a prisoner swap with Griner and Whelan, who's a Marine that's detained in Russia as well.
Okay, so look, I'm not going to ask you to make the assumption. I'm just going to ask you to evaluate my assumption, because immediately what I think is, using the words of Kamala Harris, who said that aid should be distributed to hurricane victims based on skin color, am I to presume that this man, this history teacher, is white and straight? Is that what I'm to presume?
That he's definitely white. I'm assuming that he is straight. I don't know that. I haven't talked to his family, but part of it, I was trying to be a little tongue in cheek with why Griner is getting attention and not Fogel. But I think at the end of the day here, Chris, it shows the priorities of the ruling class, of the Biden administration, of the woke left, and the priorities are really, they're intersectional way of looking at life in the United States. Also, there's a total disregard for anybody that lives in what they perceive as flyover country. Mm-hmm. I tell everybody here in southwestern Pennsylvania that when I'm in D.C., you cannot imagine the lack of respect, the disdain, the disgust that the ruling class, the coastal elites have for everyday Americans. And Fogel is part of that because he's not from Manhattan. He's not from the Bay Area of San Francisco. He's from Butler County, Pennsylvania. He's a history teacher, not a celebrity basketball player. And because of that, he's not prioritized. But he is just a symbol, really, for the lack of concern this administration has for everyday Americans. We're just seeing it clearly play out with a refusal of the Biden administration to put Mark Fogel on wrongfully detained status and include him in a prisoner swap with Griner.
Gee, where is Dr. Jill Biden in all of this? I mean, I thought she was such a supporter of GovEd and educators. Seems not to be the case. All right, Congressman, let's move
Chris,
on.
Is that the doctor we've got to call doctor, who is a community college professor, but Dr. Oz, who is the heart surgeon, we got to call him Mehmet Oz. We can't call him Dr. Oz. I just want to get it straight. Who we're talking about?
So very true. But you know, in Dr. Jill Biden's defense, she's an expert on breakfast tacos. So a different discussion for a different day.
Right.
Democrats said, elect us, and then we would be respected around the world again. America would be respected. OPEC just slashed oil production by 2 million barrels a day, led by Saudi Arabia. Congressman, I don't know that I can take so much more of this respect we're getting.
That's right. It's too much. If this is what respect looks like, I don't want any of it. Chris, there's so many points to be made on this. First off, just on the fact that we're not respected. Remember, Biden went back to Europe and he told the European leaders that America is back. Yet he then withdrew from Afghanistan, leaving our allies, particularly the Brits, totally straight, didn't communicate with them at all. Absolutely laughable. Has done very little to hold China accountable in the South China Seas. So our allies in the Pacific are questioning our commitment. He's been an absolute disaster on the foreign stage. And you don't get respect through weakness and capitulation. You get respect through strength, like Ronald Reagan did, like President Trump did. That's how you get respect. Now, in terms of the fact that we're now subject to OPEC once again, just like we were in the 70s, it's directly attributable to Biden's war on energy. Remember, we were a net energy exporter, largely thanks to states like Texas, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, West Virginia.
Yep.
We were net energy exporters under President Trump. Then day number one of his administration, Joe Biden canceled the Keystone XL pipeline, also collaterally killing thousands of union jobs. Biden was supposed to be the big defender of the blue-collar worker, and he stole all those union jobs, but I digress. He shuts down the Keystone XL pipeline. His administration stonewalls and drags their feet on permitting, and then he makes these outlandish statements like we're going to phase out fossil fuels, that we're going to move away from natural gas, we're going to move away from coal. And what does that do? It kills investment in the energy sector. So, of course, we have this problem. Then when you compound that issue, Biden ran around criticizing Saudi Arabia leading up to the election, calling the crown prince a pariah, drawing attention to allegations that Saudi Arabia was human rights violations. And look, you can have those discussions, but when it's with an ally like Saudi Arabia, you do it behind closed doors. You don't do it out in the open where you're emboldening not only Saudi's enemies and adversaries, but ours as well. Case in point, Iran. So while Biden criticizes the crown prince, he totally neglects the human rights violations of the Iranians who are running around killing protesters who don't want to wear hijabs, headscarves. He says nothing. Then he turns around and gets close with Venezuela, despite the fact that Guaido was the legally elected president of Venezuela. Yet Biden says nothing about that. So it shows their selective outrage. It shows, and Chris, sorry, I'm going on forever on this, but all this does is shows three weaknesses in the administration. Foreign policy, total failure with foreign policy, total failure with energy production, and three, in terms of how they're relating to the economy, understanding that the energy policy is leading to, in part, to the inflation.
Wow.
Complete and utter failure.
And don't forget,
on display with what you're saying.
Yeah, and don't forget, you've got Joe Biden, which is really Obama's plan, implementing Obama's plan to turn Iran into the hegemon of the region of the Middle East, basically making Saudi Arabia subservient to the number one state sponsor of terrorism. And Joe Biden is working to do this to enable Iran to become a nuclear power, which, of course, Saudi Arabia doesn't appreciate. So Saudi Arabia, courtesy of Democrat policies, now gets a vote. Because, and this is where Joe Biden and the Democrats shot themselves in the foot. If America was still churning on all cylinders in energy production, they would have been able to affect this cut in oil production because America would still be a net energy exporter, but they can't. Again, typically, not only did Joe Biden shoot himself in the foot, but he shot the American economy in the head. Folks, we're talking to Congressman Guy Reschenthaler of the great state of Pennsylvania, a state in which Biden lied to, saying he wasn't going to target the energy industry, and then, of course, did. Also, Mr. Reschenthaler here is a former Navy JAG officer, and that leads into our next discussion. As you probably heard, Congressman, the Department of Injustice has leaked to the Washington Post that Hunter Biden may be charged with, tax crimes, which, of course, nobody ever goes to jail if you're a Democrat on tax crimes, and making a false statement related to a gun purchase, again, not prosecutable, but they're ignoring FARA violations, the Foreign Agents Registration Act violations, and the illegal influence peddling investigations. Bobulinski, the Hunter Biden laptop, which entrap and snare, Joe Biden and his entire crime family. We have a problem in the FBI. They are making up and falsifying documents to charge Republicans with traitorous and treasonous actions, and they are actively protecting Democrats who there is evidence to suggest that they are doing traitorous and treasonous actions. Am I wrong?
No, you're exactly right. And look, if you look at Joe Biden has much more in common with Whitey Bulger than he does with JFK. And I think that you're going to see a lot of this come out when we have robust oversight investigation when we retake the House. And I think a lot of what you're seeing from the DOJ regarding Hunter Biden and these charges is because they fear Jim Jordan having the gavel of the Judiciary Committee. They fear Comer having the gavel with the Oversight Committee. They know what's coming, and they know that they are going to be investigated. And by moving forward with these small charges, misdemeanors at best, that would need to probably be pled out through a plea deal. It's the least they can offer without seeming like they're totally in the bag for Biden and the Democrats. That's why you're not seeing anything that was on that laptop. You're not seeing anything regarding Bob Alinsky and the shady deals. The fact that Hunter Biden has been flagged for suspicious foreign activity in his bank account more than, I believe, any other American in our history. I've got to check that fact, but it is a staggering amount of times that Hunter himself has been flagged for suspicious activity under our banking regulations. So again, the DOJ, overly political, FBI, overly political. Both these organizations have been hijacked by the far left and weaponized to go after conservatives. You're just seeing it on display with how Hunter Biden and Joe Biden are being treated.
All right. Now, let's get to this. Folks, I've got to give you some background before I get into this next issue with a congressman. As you all know, the conservative movement is consumed with the equal application of law, the equal application of standards in Washington, D.C. And Congressman, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, that you and I spoke off the air before I invited you on. And we had this discussion, and folks, this is concerning the impeachment of Joe Biden, and the congressman, to his credit. Now, when I bring up bringing the conservative movement together with Republicans, Mitch McConnell ghosts me. Kevin McCarthy doesn't return my phone calls. Doesn't want to come on and talk with your liberty loving Latino. To the congressman's credit here, he said, "Let's talk about it." And I'm going to give you guys a preface. The congressman and I are going to disagree here. But men of goodwill and of good conscience, that's okay. We can do that. Have it out and let the folks decide. So, congressman, as I explained to you over the telephone, I am a big believer in the equal application of justice and the equal application of law. I believe that Democrats, the reason why they do so much, well, let's just be honest, crappy things to Republicans, is they're able to do it without any consequences. And they will continue to do shady things, dare I say illegal things, dare I say extra constitutional things, as long as they're allowed to get away with it if they don't pay a consequence. In my view, showing the Democrats that, hey, if you want to politicize impeachment, great. Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And I'm going to use Mitch McConnell as an example, and then I'm going to turn it over to you. Mitch McConnell said, well, we're not going to go nuclear, but guess what? Harry Reid did. Harry Reid started pushing through Obama left-wing anti-American judges on a 50-plus-1 vote, went nuclear in the Senate, and then McConnell made them pay, saying, great, if that's what we're going to do for judges, then we're going to do it too. And then the Democrats counterwalled, and the Democrats were slamming the name of Harry Reid for going down this road because they finally had to pay a consequence, and now we've got a constitutional conservative court. Why doesn't the same apply for impeachment? Go.
Well, can I just talk broadly, and then I'll talk about impeachment specifically?
Floor is yours.
I think, and as I told you offline, I think that when the Democrats change the rules, we need to play by those rules and then beat them. Because this whole idea of us taking the proverbial high road and saying we're above that, that is what Mitt Romney did. That's what the Bushes did. That it does not work. That leads to electoral losses moving forward, and it kills the conservative movement from moving forward. So I'm a huge fan of saying, okay, you've changed the rules. We're going to play by those rules, and we're going to beat you under your new set of rules, just like Mitch McConnell did by exercising the nuclear option when Harry Reid did it. So I'm all for that. I'm also for taking the fight to them outside the sphere of politics. For example, I tell everybody, you make every day an election day when you vote with your wallet, when you vote with your checkbook. When you support these woke businesses, you fuel them. We need to start supporting conservative businesses. Also, in your workplace, we need to advance conservatives. If you're in the military and you're writing somebody's fit rep, your fitness report, or your evaluation if you're enlisted, how about you sandbag the woke liberals and you promote the conservatives? Because, like, let me tell you, they're doing that to us.
Yep.
Now, let's just talk about impeachment.
Okay.
I think the Democrats have lowered the bar on impeachment so low that it has now become a political exercise. That anytime you have a president of a different political party of the majority in the House, you're going to see impeachment. They have lowered the bar at that level. Now, I don't think impeachment is the best strategy, and here's why. I don't think that Biden will actually be removed if we impeach him. It's just not going to happen. Also, we have the best chance of beating Biden in 2024 than anyone else. Why would we elevate Kamala Harris when we know that we have this president that's tantamount to El Cid being propped up on his horse, pushed into battle, has no idea what's going on? Why not go up against Biden in 2024 and we can win? So I think also, if you look at polling historically, the American people rally around impeached president. They certainly did with Clinton. I believe they did with Johnson back in the Reconstruction period. They certainly did with President Trump. President Trump's ratings, or his approval ratings, were never higher than right after impeachment. So we've got to be very careful. Biden has very low approval ratings right now. Why are we going to try to bolster his low approval ratings through impeachment? And again, strategically, we get very little from this. So I'll end by just quoting Sun Tzu, who I'm a very big fan of. Sun Tzu says that tactics without strategy is noise before defeat. I think a lot of times we in the conservative movement, we focus too much on the tactics and not on the strategy. That has led to numerous defeats. Let's think long-term and strategically. Let's still adopt the rules the Democrats have put upon us, but let's not do it to our own detriment.
Okay, Grasshopper. Now, by the way, we're talking with Congressman Guy Reschenthaler from the great state of Pennsylvania, folks. So let me just give a counterpoint to this and then see how you answer. The Democrats were successful in using impeachment, knowing that they wouldn't be able to remove Trump in the Senate. They did it twice. They did this to focus the basket of biased press, not on all the good things that Trump did, but on impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. And they were able to successfully derail the America First agenda to a large degree. So what I'm suggesting is the Republicans also derail the anti-American Democrat agenda by making the Democrats play defense the entire time, by making them defend the indefensible occupier of the Oval Office, who is Joe Biden. You make it about him. You make it about the harm he's doing. You make it about, you bring in all the Bobulinski issues. You bring in all the Hunter Biden laptop issues through the impeachment, because we have Joe Biden on tape, Congressman, doing what Donald, admitting that he did what Donald Trump was impeached for doing. He's admitted it. And it's all part and parcel of Democrat corruption. And the media will have no choice but to focus and answer all the charges that are substantive and have proof, unlike the charges being leveled against Trump. That's number one. Number two, I can think of no better. By the way, nobody believes that Biden's going to be the 2024 candidate. I can think of no better face of the Democrat Party than Kamala Harris, who is imminently unqualified to be vice president. She's imminently unqualified to be a shoe shiner. She is eminently unqualified for everything that she does. She is hated more than Joe Biden is in the United States. She can't even get majority support in her own home state of California. I can think of nothing better tactically, just politically speaking, than making Kamala Harris the face of the failed Democrat Socialist Party. And you would say,
all right, let me push back on two points. Number one is Kamala Harris. It's a total hypothetical question. It's a total metaphysical question because it's not going to happen. Even if we were to impeach in the House, we don't have 60 votes to remove Biden in the Senate. So playing this out is just an impossibility. It's like engaging in like what if history.
But remember, that's not the goal. The goal is not to remove him from office. The goal is to get all this stuff the FBI has been covering up, all this stuff out there in front of the country to see, and the press will be forced to cover it. And this is my big deal,
well,
Congressman.
My second point.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to get to that, Chris, just one second. So to that point, I would attack the premise that it was impeachment that derailed the MAGA agenda. The media will always cover whatever is in the best interest of the legacy media to cover whatever advanced their big government socialist agenda. You're seeing that right now where DeSantis has done an incredible job handling the hurricane relief in Florida. Yet they don't cover the fact that DeSantis successfully handled this hurricane. What do they talk about? They talk about global warming, climate change, and that. So the legacy media will always detract. What killed President Trump and the MAGA agenda was the unelected career bureaucrats that stonewalled the agenda. What killed him was the FBI and the DOJ that immediately set up to stonewall him, to entrap people like Flynn, Roger Stone, Manafort, and everybody around President Trump. That is what ultimately derailed the MAGA agenda. Also, you had a bunch of weak-kneed conservatives that were stalling, and we got rid of most of them as well. The way that we slow down the radical far-left agenda of Biden and the left is not by worrying what the legacy media is going to cover. We've lost them. If you're sitting there at home watching MSNBC, you're never going to vote Republican. So we've got to understand that that's just not possible. What we need to do is we need to have a multi-pronged approach. We need to have robust oversight investigation. We can bring the Hunter Biden, the Bob Alinsky. We can bring all this to the forefront and have it be covered by venues like Newsmax and conservative talk radio and get that out there through oversight investigation in the House. Additionally, we need to make sure that we are focused on winning elections at all levels. You know, you were talking about the benefit of attacking. I'm a big, you know, as Patton said, attack, attack, attack.
Yeah.
I think that we should be attacking on multiple fronts and at multiple levels. If you're really upset about critical race theory, if you're really upset about boys playing in girls' sports, run for school board and fire the woke superintendent. If you're upset about issues at a local level, run for those offices and get the Democrats off and shut down the woke agenda there. We should be running good, solid candidates from dog catcher all the way up to president.
Oh, great.
We also need to realize that politics is downstream of everything else. It's the last step before the water flows out in the ocean. What we really need to do is we need to, and we only focus on politics, we need to focus on the other aspects of the battle. It starts with education.
Yes.
We need to push back on these colleges.
Well, Congressman, if I can just interject,
yes.
Because, yes. And this ties in with this so-called commitment to America, which was just nothing but pablum and equivocating and politically correct language on the part of Kevin McCarthy. Instead,
I got to push back on that.
No, hold on. I know you will. I know you will. But instead of saying, you know what, we are going. This is what the Republicans in that commitment to America said. We're going to try to discourage illegal immigration, not stop it. Instead of saying, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take those 87,000 IRS agents and we're going to set them loose, tracking down the 6 million illegal aliens that Joe Biden and the Democrats let into America. And we're going to put them back in Mexico to await their asylum trial, knowing that over 90% of them will not qualify for asylum. OK, that's what a bold contrast to what's happening to America is. When you just brought up education, you don't elect a school board member to go in and do the right thing in GovEd. You elect politicians and individuals who say, you know what, parents deserve school choice. That's how we take, that's the bold solution that I'm sorry, there aren't enough thinkers in charge. And I know you are one, but in leadership, there are not enough thinkers in leadership like a Newt Gingrich or a Ronald Reagan who are setting up bold contrasts with the socialism of the Democrat Party. And that's my big gripe.
I think you're totally underestimating the commitment to America. And Newt Gingrich has his fingerprints all over this. I've been in numerous meetings where Speaker Gingrich has been there. I know that he's advising Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy's chief of staff was actually Newt Gingrich's chief of staff. The commitment to America has the legacy of the contract with America. Now, as far as the commitment to America, first off, all this has been tested. We know that with all the demographic groups that we're trying to hit, whether it's suburban women, whether it's Hispanic voters, that all this polls really well. And the genius of it is if you are somebody that represents a deep red district, you can talk about the issues that move that move it there, such as making sure we add 200,000 police officers and be tough on crime, making sure that we hold woke DAs accountable. Conversely, if you're in a swing district, you can talk about the fact that we need a government that's accountable to the people. We need fairness. We need to make sure that men aren't participating in women's sports.
Amen.
That's a winning argument all day long.
Yeah.
And when it comes, we do have border security within the commitment to America. We have calls for added infrastructure, more technology, more border patrol agents. It's actually in there.
Well, no, but here's what I would have loved to have had it said. On illegal immigration, the Republican Party believes illegal immigration is wrong, illegal immigration is immoral, and illegal immigration is bad for any nation forced to endure it by its political class. That's a statement that says this is where we are. We do not believe in illegal immigration in the Republican Party, but they did not say it. And Congressman, I'm up against the clock here, and let me get some compliments out your way. Look, folks, for those of you who may disagree with the congressman on this back and forth, these last couple of points, that's okay. The congressman's willing to come on and talk with we conservatives. I want you to contrast with Mitt Romney and with Mitch McConnell and with Kevin McCarthy, who won't even give us the time of day, who don't give a damn about what we say. Contrast with what Guy Reschenthaler is doing with us now to some of the so-called Republicans here in the state of Texas who don't want to come on and answer our questions. At least he's willing to have the dialogue and have this out. Congressman, you're a good man, and you know I believe that.
Hey, thanks. And let me just say this. We are the party of ideas. We should have diversity in thought in our party, and there's room under the tent for Guy Reschenthaler, for Chris Salcido, for Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, to Dave Joyce of Cleveland, Ohio, who runs the moderate group that used to be known as the Tuesday group. We're the big tent party. It's the Democrats who shut down stifled debate. It's the Democrats who have litmus tests. So we should always be talking and combating in the space of ideas, because that's how we get the best results for the conservative movement.
Damn straight. Hey, look, I appreciate your service to the country in the United States Navy. Appreciate your service in the Congress. Guy Reschenthaler, everybody. Mr. Reschenthaler, keep us posted on Fogle, will you? I think we ought to make this a cause for conservatives. If they're going to move heaven and earth for Griner, they sure as heck should be able to do it for a history teacher. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the update. All right, my friends, that's going to do it for this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Two websites to visit for you. A little bit of homework. Go to TexasScorecard.com, TexasScorecard.com. All the news that impacts Texas, and if it impacts Texas, chances are it will impact these United States. Also, go to ChrisSalcedo.com. You can book me for a speech there. You can check out how to get in touch with me with a voicemail or an email. Or you can track down the Chris Salcedo Show on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. There's an app for that, so you can hear it all over the country. Or on Newsmax TV, every afternoon, 4 o'clock until 5 o'clock, Monday through Friday, always at home on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me, we, the people. See ya.
At Frontier, we know you've had enough of cable internet. If you're tired of steep price hikes, upload speeds slower than download speeds, and worrying about Wi-Fi, then uncable yourself and switch to Frontier Fiber. With unrandom pricing, equal uploads and downloads, and our whole home Wi-Fi guarantee. Introducing internet that works the way it should. Frontier Gig Fiber. Just $59.99 a month with autopay and our 3-year price guarantee. Plus, you can get a $200 Visa reward card on us. See Frontier.com/fast2 for complete offer, terms, eligibility, and performance details. Subject to availability.